Well, amen. That's the way to do it. Just come and see. Amen. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Thank you, Fred. Does anybody not have study sheets? Anybody not have study sheets? Raise your hands. And Brother Dave will be right there. What does the Bible say about backsliding? You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 warns us that it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." And the Scripture is telling us that I don't care who you are, you can fall, you can slide back, you can lose ground. And there have been great men and women that have fallen from the faith. The Bible is filled with examples of this. We have seen it in our life. I've known many great men and women, people that I respected dearly, that have gotten away from the Lord. Some of them are not even in church. I've seen young people that had tremendous promise. And obviously God had given them a gift. And only to see them backslide and to get away from God. I've seen ministers, preachers. I've known a number of preachers through the years. And some of them had very successful ministries, pastored large churches. And some of them had started churches and done mission work. And some of them have backslidden and are out of the Lord and out of church, out of service today. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. And so the Bible warns against pride, because that's one of the things that causes people to get in trouble. They think, oh man, you know, I can handle it. It won't bother me. And that's not true. Husbands and wives and fathers and dads and preachers and youth pastors and Sunday school teachers and staff members and deacons and all kinds of Christian leaders have all... Many of them have backslidden. They're not where they once were. And so what does the Bible say about backsliding? I want you to notice, number one, what is backsliding? When that phrase is used, what do we mean? And let me give you three verses to sort of capsule what it's talking about. Revelation chapter 2, Jesus was addressing the seven churches of Revelation. And he mentions as he talks to the church at Ephesus, and this church represents the church, I believe, right at the beginning of the apostles at that stage, around the turn of the century, the first century. And he was describing the condition of the church at that time, and he commended them greatly. But then look at verse 4. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Left thy first love. Now, from this we learn that backsliding, number one, is losing affection toward God and godly activities. That's what backsliding is. Just as a man and woman fall in love and they begin to rejoice in being together, the Bible tells us that they can begin to fall away from one another the same way as Christians. Christians fall in love with the Lord. You get saved. You're excited about Jesus. But if you don't watch it, you'll fall away from that. And so people get excited about serving God. Then they come to a stage in their life sometimes when they're no longer excited about coming to church. Oh, maybe they come because it's the right thing to do. But the truth is they dread it, dread every service. They would rather be just about anywhere. If they have a bus route, they get to where they're no longer enjoying it. They got Sunday school class, they're no longer enjoying it. Whatever their Christian responsibilities are and opportunities are, they may do them because of character, but they're not getting a blessing out of it anymore. That's called backsliding. When you get to the point that you are losing affection for God and you're losing affection for godly services, folks, call it what it is. Don't say, oh, now listen, now I know that, you know, listen, me and God, we're just like that. Now I know I don't do... No, you're losing your affection for Him. And some of the same danger signals that you'll see between a husband and wife when they're drifting apart, you will recognize them between Christians and the Lord's service when they start losing a real heart to want to be with Him. And so when you start to lose affection toward God, That's backsliding. Number two, turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. What is backsliding? Well, what does the Bible say? 1 Kings chapter 11. The Bible tells us that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. In other words, God gives to people a heart for God. And if you witness much, if you go out and knock doors, if you talk to people, there are people who just do not have a heart for God. They're not interested in it, never have been interested in it. And that's the problem. That is the difficulty. They cannot even fathom people actually enjoying coming to worship. They may go occasionally, but they have no heart for God. They can sit in the most moving of services, and their eyes are dry. Their interest has not been pinned. Nothing has taken place with them. They're not nothing vertical. There may be some horizontals that they appreciate. Maybe they like just the sound of the music and the blending of the voices, and maybe they enjoy a little bit of camaraderie, and they like to get outside and have a smoke with the boys out on services before the services get started. And maybe they like the donuts and the coffee, but they may find something that they like about on the horizontal level. But anything vertical that reaches toward God, they just do not get. They don't get it. They do not have a heart for God. But I want to warn you. And God, you are here tonight because I would imagine most of you, God has given you a heart. I've given you a heart for Him. You love the Lord, but do not take that for granted. And most people that enter into backsliding can never envision, they cannot imagine them coming to a point to where they do not want to be with God. But backsliding is when you begin to lose your heart. When your heart is just not in it anymore. And what's sad is that many people, once they lose heart for God, it's very difficult to ever see them restored. So be careful about your heart. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Now, Solomon did not get into trouble instantly. He got in trouble gradually. And the Bible tells us it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Any sin that's left unchecked in your life, no matter how small it is, hammers away at your heart for God. Anything that you know in your life that is wrong, and you say, well, I know that's not right, but I think that's a relatively small thing compared to so many other big things. It's the small things that will eat and grow in your life. And so from this we learn, number two, backsliding then is losing your heart for God. It's losing heart. It doesn't stir you like it used to. It's just not there. Your visions do not include doing for God like they once did. You're not ate up with it as you once were. It's not on your mind. You're not figuring a way where you can make an impact for the Lord. You're not thinking in the same terms. You've gotten on into other things, and you've lost your heart for God. That's what backsliding is. Number three, turn to Isaiah chapter 59. What is backsliding? Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59. Now look at verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 2. Behold, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Now notice, the Bible teaches us that sin offends God. You can't fellowship with sin and hold on to God with your other hand. It's offensive. Have you ever been around people whose behavior is just downright obnoxious to you? Almost sickening to you? And you try to overlook them. You try, but I mean, it's just grates. It's sort of like, you know, what's that sound when something goes up on metal and it just makes your skin kind of crawl? Well, the Bible teaches us that that's God's reaction to sin. And when you get comfortable with it, God is not comfortable with it. And the Bible tells us that once you begin to get back into sins of the past, that's called backsliding. Maybe, for example, maybe there was a time, maybe when you first became a Christian, you struggled with church attendance. That was just something it just wasn't like you to come and sit. You're a doer. You like to get up and be moving. You'd rather be out doing something, clearing off the last 40 or playing 18 holes out on the golf course, or going in fishing and pulling in a great big bass, or something like that. But it's a little hard for you to sit. But you began to grow and you started getting hungry for the Word, and you began to get excited about things happening, and you got into the service and you started going. And then you had to struggle about coming back on Sunday night. I mean, man, that, you know, you thought it was a real accomplishment that you came two Sunday mornings in a row. And now you find out everybody on your pew is saying to you, "Are you coming back tonight? Hey, are you coming back tonight?" And you thought, "What in the world? Is these people crazy? Coming back tonight?" But hey, bless your heart, you got to the point to where not only did you come back on Sunday night, but you came back faithfully every Sunday night. And then you started coming on Wednesday night. You became a 3-to-thriver. And boy, you were just growing and underlining in your Bible and excited about the house of God. But you've started missing again, haven't you? You see, backsliding is when, from this we learn number 3, backsliding is falling back into sins of the past. Folks, you work too hard to gain ground. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Old habits that you thought you had buried are creeping back up on you. Attitudes that once were there, misplaced priorities that once you had gotten right are now messing all up again. That's backsliding. And so backsliding then is when you begin to lose your affection and lose your heart about God and God's work, and you begin to fall back into some of the entrapments that you've had in your past. Number 2, what actions cause backsliding? Well, let's turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. What does the Bible say? Mark chapter 14. Jesus was speaking, and listen to what he said. Mark chapter 14. And look at verse 38. Mark 14 and verse 38. It says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Now, from this we learn, number 1, what actions cause backsliding? Number 1, lack of prayer time leads to backsliding. You'll get busy. Maybe your habit was to get up and spend some time with the Lord every morning before you got out into the day. And so now you find yourself sort of hitting a snooze button another 2 or 3 times. And then you jump up and boy, you need to be going. You need to be going. So you run in there and you grab stuff and you say, "Well, I'll do it later." And the day goes by and you get busy. Don't even think about it. And tonight you go, "Well, I'm going to do it tonight." And tonight you come in, and boy, you're just exhausted. You're just tired. Maybe you try to open your Bible and read a few verses, and your eyeballs are sort of crossing as they go over those words. And you'll read 3 verses and realize you weren't listening. You can't say one word that you read in those 3 verses. And so you finally just give up and say, "Lord, thank you for the day. Amen." And so, what actions cause backsliding? Number one, lack of prayer time leads to backsliding. Lack of prayer time. Watch and pray. Oh, it's so important. I don't care who you are. You cannot maintain your spiritual growth, much less grow, if you're not spending personal time in prayer every day. Every day. Every single day. Number two, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn to the right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, familiar passage of Scripture. What actions cause backsliding? 2 Timothy, and look at chapter 2, and look at verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It says to study to show ourselves a workman of God that need not be ashamed. We have got to build the word of God into the fabric of our lives. And the only way you can do that is by spending time there. And so backsliding is when we're not spending time regularly reading the Bible. That brings about backsliding. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and look at verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. The psalmist said, if I was not excited about the Word of God, and I did not love the Word of God, if I did not spend time in the Word of God, I would have perished. A lot of people backslide because they begin to isolate themselves from the Word of God. I mean, the Bible goes home in truthfulness. It just sort of lies there until Sunday morning when you come to church. I've had Sunday school teachers tell me that they got to the point that their Bible laid all week long, and Saturday night they'd grab it up, read up for the Sunday school lesson before they was going to teach the next day, put it back on. It has been laying vacant all week long. Folks, you cannot grow and you cannot even hold your own if you're not spending daily time in the Word of God. That's called backsliding. Now, the truth is, there's some of you right here tonight, you've lost ground because you've not been reading your Bible and you've not been praying regularly. It's not that you've gone into deep sin yet, but you're getting set up for it. And things that you would never, ever, ever believe you could ever do, the devil's planning those for you. And all he's got to do is get you weak enough. And when he can isolate you from the source of your strength, and that's spending time with God in prayer and Bible study, when he can isolate you from that and can immerse you in your own agenda, in your own vision, in your own ideas, he's setting you up for a knockout punch. And it can happen to you. To him that thinketh he standeth, take heed. What actions cause cause backsliding? Number three, turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse we often refer to at Starlight, because we live in an age that has minimized the importance of the house of God. And we need to preach to the age that we live in. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible says, as we get closer and closer to the day when Christ will return, we're going to face unbelievable opposition. And the greatest source that God has given us physically is the house of God to come to. And you're going to need your church more and more and more. The closer we get to end times, the more necessary it becomes to insulate ourselves against the wickedness that's all around us. I mean, it's just everywhere. Everywhere. In the public mediums, all everywhere you turn. It's just an on-out, it's an assault. And folks, Christians, the Bible describes in the last days as being times when Christians are going to suffer persecution. Can you believe some of the stuff we're hearing? The attack on Christmas. Do you think that Christians are far behind? Any attack on our Christ is an attack upon us. And any attack upon anything that's in His name is an attack upon God. So what actions cause backsliding? From this we learn, number three, irregular church attendance leads to backsliding. Irregular church attendance. Turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. The psalmist is describing an experience that he had. He's given us a testimony. Testimonies are powerful. Some people's lives are recorded to be red lights. They're stop. Whoa, look at me. Don't do this. Don't make the mistake I made. And some people's lives are green lights. They're a tremendous influence, an example for us to do the right thing. But the psalmist here is telling us what happened to him. Look at what he says. He says, truly, verse 1, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I almost backslid. Why? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, when I began to look at the world around me and all the stuff, all the glitter and all the things that it has to do with it, and I began to see what they were doing with their free time, and I began to see how much opportunity there was out there if I really wanted to go for it. He said, when I saw them and saw their prosperity, he said, I noticed there are no bands in their death. He said, they're not worried about it. He said, their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men. Now, he learned later that isn't true, but that's what appears to be.
Right.
You know, you look at old Ted Turner. Man, I mean, here's this guy, and he's got all the money in the world. And it just looks like everything's hunky-dory. And sometimes you'll look at people. Maybe you had an old high school mate, and he talks to you every now and then. You get a hold of him on the phone, and he talks to you. And, man, I mean, you listen to him tell it, and good night, everything he touches is gold. It just seems wonderful. You know, and you're just struggling with everything, trying to get everything all meet and all. And he's just telling you how great it is. And you begin to think, you know, I don't understand this. I'm trying to live for God, and I've been paying my tithes, and the Lord's been supplying. I've not gone hungry. But, I a couple more thousand coming in sure wouldn't hurt a month. Don't think it'd be, it wouldn't offend me a bit. If that were to happen, and it'd be so easy for God just to bring that about, and I don't know really why. And so he said, I looked around. He said it almost caused me to backslide. He said, I looked at their pride. Their pride just surrounds them like a chain. And I look at how they behave. Violence covers them like a garment, and their eyes stand out with fatness. They got more things than you can. Carter has liver pills. He said they got everything. Yet you listen to them talk. They're corrupt. He said, they speak wickedly concerning oppression. The stuff that they say, they speak loftily. They're just full of pride. They set their mouths against heaven while they cuss God and use God's name in vain. And their tongue walketh through the earth. He said, I look at all of this and you know what they say? They say, how doth God know? They're not worried about God. And he said, man, I almost backslid. I just about threw in the towel. And just quit God, quit church, quit the whole scene, and just joined them. Now look at verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. And then I understood therein. Now, from this we learn then what actions cause backsliding. Irregular church attendance leads to backsliding. A lot of people get to out here and get to look, and they're in church. Maybe they're raised in church. And they get to be in their early 20s, and they get out there trying to, and their feet just sort of spinning, trying to get a foothold somewhere and to pursue a career and to build some things for their family. And that's good. And that God's put that drive in us, and that's wonderful. But then one day they got an opportunity to take this job. But taking that job means they got to work 7 days a week. And that right there, as a Christian, you should have said, whoa, no, that's not for me. I don't care how much opportunity it presents. That's not where I'm not going to be. Or maybe they got a job, and the only thing is that job requires you to be a bald-faced liar. Their Christianity should have said, no, sir, I'm not going to be involved in a project that's not on the up and up. Or maybe that job required them to be isolated from the things that they know are spiritual or helpful for them. Or maybe it required them to market something that they know is wrong. But they allowed themselves to be pulled into that. And the Bible teaches us that you can go down very, very, very quickly. But we need to understand something, that what causes people to backslide? It's when they begin to put other things ahead of God. So be careful. Irregular church attendance leads to backsliding. Watch what you do. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, you ought to be in the house of God. And if you've got a job that you cannot do that for, I understand that. Some people work nights and you can't be here on Wednesday nights. I understand that. Some jobs that's what's required. You may have a job where you're a doctor or you're a nurse or you're a fireman or someone, and sometimes you may have to rotate and miss a Sunday morning or miss a Sunday night. I understand that. But folks, your heart needs to be, I will do everything. I'll figure and write on every wall in the house trying to find a way to be in my church when no service is open.
Amen.
I'll find a way. I've driven all night many times. Many times. Drove all night long. Get to my house, take a shower, and be in Sunday school. Now look, I'm telling you that not to pat my... I'm telling you that if I can do it, so can you. We've got members that work all night on Saturday night. Come in, grab a shower, and come to church. And some of you, if you had to drive 2 days, 3 days before Sunday, you're too tired to come on Sunday. Preacher, we didn't get in until Thursday morning. Huh? Now, what's sad about it is where's your heart? The truth is, you didn't want to come, and that was all the excuse you needed. Well, when God saved me, He saved my heart. And I want to tell you, that's one thing the Lord took care of. And my wife and I made a promise long before I became a preacher. When our church meets, we'll be there. We'll never discuss it. We'll never say, do you want to go to church? Well, if it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, if our church meets, it is understood thing, we're going to be there. And if Aunt Sally comes over, she's either going with us or she can enjoy the house while we're gone. And I don't understand why you don't have that. I don't understand that. And some of you have been saved too long to still be struggling with Three to Thrive. It's way too long for that. And if God puts you in a position of leadership, what are you saying by your leadership? You know, we require Sunday school teachers. If you're going to be a Sunday school teacher here, we expect you to be at every service. Unless you cannot come, if you have to work, you're sick, out of town. But you don't miss church because you were just out at Walmart and didn't make it any time. And I'm going to tell you why. You teach a whole lot more by what you do than what you say. And it is hypocrisy to get up on Sunday morning and get your lessons out and teach in your class. Okay, now class, look here at Matthew 6:33. That says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things. That means you're to put God first. Okay, class? Now, I know I don't do it either. We had years ago when I was a young preacher, had a man in our church, and he was one of the most likable guys. I mean, everybody liked him, and I liked him, and he was teaching adult class. But I noticed that his class was horrible about coming back to the services. None of them ever came soul winning. And none of them would, they were, his class stood out. We had 13 adult classes, and every one of all those adult classes, his was the worst about coming back on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And it wasn't that his class was the 90-year-olds and they couldn't get out after dark. And I could figure that out. And one Sunday, I had someone there to do a special thing in my class. I usually always teach Sunday school classes. And so I had someone teach again, and I was free. And so I was out wandering the hallways, just sort of listening in. And I stopped by his class just in time to hear him say this. Yeah. You know, he said, now, you know, the Bible talks about being faithful. And he said, I think we ought to be faithful and things, talking about faithfulness. And he mentioned being faithful to your wife, and he mentioned how long he and his wife had been married. He and Betty had been married so many years, and about being faithful. He talked about his job and talked about how people that miss their job and how that Christians, that's horrible, Christians that call in sick all the time, and the fact that if you're going to be an employee, you ought to be the best employee there. And man, be faithful. He told about how many years he had worked at a place and never one time had called in sick, and being faithful. And then he said this, and see, he caught my ear when he mentioned faithful. So I thought, well, I'll hear this out. And then he mentioned, he said, in church, he said, you ought to be faithful to church. We ought to be faithful to church. Said, we ought to come. And he said, you know, he said, we ought to be faithful to our Sunday school class. Well, he's a Sunday school teacher. Be faithful to the Sunday. And then he said, we ought to be faithful to our Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And then he said this, now I know that I don't come some myself. Do you know what his class just did? Oh, okay then. Good, we don't have to neither. Teacher doesn't do it, then we don't have to. You know, you see, your followers will always take where you go to, wherever you put the line, and they'll go to the Father with it. You see, my belief, the Bible says, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. See, allow is never a good word. Nobody ever says allow with great pride. Allow is something you just tolerate, but you're not very proud of. Happy is a person that does not condemn himself by allowing things that's not what it ought to be. Right. And so, parents, if you've got your list of what you'll stay home from church for, well, your kids watch you, they'll take yours and they'll add to it some things that you don't do that they kind of wish were on there too. You know, and so they'll add on to the list too. My point is this, you're an adult, act like an adult. If some of you treated your job the way you treat church, you'd be fired. You sure would never get a promotion. Talk to him. And if God is worth anything, he is worth you doing your dead level best. Amen? Why? What is it that causes people to backslide? For many people, it's irregular church attendance. I can see it as a pastor. I've got the pulse of my people, and I can tell when you're hot, and I can tell when you're cold, and I can tell you this. The first step in backsliding is not some horrible, wicked sin. It's misplaced priorities, not being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. And so, how do we, irregular church attendance. Number four. What actions cause backsliding? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what actions cause backsliding? That's when we fail to listen or heed the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. When you are not where you're supposed to be, when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's the Holy Spirit's job to nudge you. Now, he doesn't normally grab you up and lift you up over the ground and shake you like this and throw you up against the wall. That's just not God's style. You remember when Elijah was waiting and he needed to see God reveal himself to him. He wasn't in the tornadoes and he wasn't in all the big... he was in the little, still, small voice. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to nudge. You see, as I'm teaching on this tonight, if the Holy Spirit's not in it, it's not bothering you. You're just sitting there, that's good. I see where the preacher's heading with that one. Yeah, I can see that one a mile coming. And it doesn't bother. But if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you on it, He'll give you a little nudge. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the little nudge is something that you can easily reject if you want to. You can just sit there. You feel that little tinge, that little nudge in your heart. And so what you'll do is just change your mind, turn around to somebody, make a little joke about it, and get it off of you. And you can do that. But the nudge is there. If you're saved, the nudge is there. The nudge is there. And see, as a preacher, my job is just get out there and throw it out there at you. And then let the Holy Spirit come along and do the tapping. And he'll go up and down these aisles, you know, and he'll tap you. Kind of tap. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Absolutely. Okay, so not listening to the Holy Spirit. When we do not listen to Him, we are grieving the Holy Spirit by listening to His nudge. And then I want you also to notice, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. What actions cause backsliding? When we're not spending regular time in prayer, when we're not spending regular time in Bible reading, when we are irregular in our church attendance, and when we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, all of these events lead us into a backslidden life. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, look at what it says. Look down in verse 19. It says, quench not the Spirit. You grieve the Spirit with sins of commission. When you do things you ought not do, that grieves the Holy Spirit. And you quench the Holy Spirit by sins of omission. When you fail to do the things that you ought to do, that quenches the Spirit in your life. And that leads to backsliding. You begin to lose heart. You know, no matter what you do, it's easy to take things for granted, isn't it? We see people saved so regularly at Starlight, and we see people baptized, and we see people move to the altar. That's just a part of our normal life. It doesn't everybody. And you don't recognize sometimes you can take it for granted. I come here, and you folks are so warm to speak, and I know that you love me, and you know that I love you, and I'd rather preach here than anywhere in the world. I enjoy this. But we can take each other for granted. And I'll go to other churches and preach, and there's two things there. One thing is I'll go and preach, and it makes me realize what a wonderful congregation I've got. The other side of that coin is, as I go and preach, and they've not maybe heard that particular type of message or that style or my hilariously funny jokes. And boy, they're up on their toes, and you guys have heard it, and you heard it, and it's awfully hard for me to move you very much. But the point of it is that we need to understand that the results of backsliding, or the action that caused backsliding, is that we can fail to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit. I want you to get into this thing, Christmas Friend Day. And I'm so afraid you're going to just sit and look at me and let it pass. Preacher, we just had a campaign. Oh, I know it. And God forbid that we try two things to win somebody to Christ. I mean, Lord's lie will get upset at us for that. I can see us in heaven 500 years from now. I can't believe y'all did that. I mean, you just had a 5-week campaign, then come back and had that Christmas Friend Day, and it got me there and got me saved. And don't you all know that you know, you can do too much. And I'm scared that you guys are just going to sit and look at me, and I'm going to just flap wind about this, about bringing people to come, use this Friend Day. They'll come on it, and you'll come in here, and three of you will have your friends. I know this will work, but you have to work it. You've got to work it. You work with people that didn't come during the 5-week campaign. Well, get them to come as your Christmas friend. Christmas friend. Let me ask you something. Would you be dishonored if someone told you that I'd like for you to be my Christmas friend? Huh? I mean, you'd be honored to be chosen to be somebody's friend, wouldn't you? Okay, don't miss this. Now, you see, the problem with staying, I've been your pastor for 16 years, and that's good and it's bad. The bad side is you hear me say this all the time. But I want you, don't take this for granted. Do something with it, all right? So we grieve the Holy Spirit when we do things wrong, and we quench Him when we don't respond. Don't get to the point that you come to church and just don't respond. Don't do that. Don't get to the point to where you don't let God move in your life. It's important. Not listening to the Holy Spirit. Number five, let me hurry. Turn to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. What actions cause backsliding? 1 John chapter 1 and look at verse 7. 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Listen to what He tells us. What actions cause backsliding? Number five, a lack of seriousness in our daily Christian walk. A lack of seriousness. God is serious about being a Christian. You need to be too. Watch yourself. Watch your walk. People stumble into things all the time that causes them to backslide just because they weren't being watchful. Watch your Christian walk. Turn to James chapter 1. Back to your left to the book of James chapter 1 and look at what he says. James chapter 1. And look at verse 22. James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't just listen to it. You hear me say this, every sermon carries homework assignments. Go home, work on it. Go home and work on it. What actions cause backsliding? A lack of seriousness about your Christian living. And then number six, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. What actions cause backsliding? 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel chapter 15. Now look at verse 11. First Samuel 15 and verse 11. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. He hath turned back. Not performed my commandments. From this we learn number six, disobedience leads many away from God into a backslider's life. God wanted you to do something, did He? And you just didn't want to do it. You didn't want to do it. Maybe God's calling you to do something and you said no. Maybe God was telling you not to do something that you really wanted to do. Disobedience. At some point in your life, you just decided, I'm not doing it. I don't care. A preacher can get mad at me and God can get mad at me. He didn't hair lip every deacon they got up there. I ain't doing it. Be careful about that. You see, when you commit one little disobedience, as you might refer to it, it makes it easier for the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. Disobedience. And then number seven, the last one I'll give you tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Disobedience leads many away from God. 2 Timothy chapter 4. What actions cause backsliding? What actions? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Paul's in prison. These are the last words, as far as we know, that were ever penned by the Apostle Paul before his death. And Paul's in prison. He's writing this to Timothy, one that he had mentored in the Lord. And he was in giving him an encouragement, giving him advice on what to do. And then he talked to him about, he said in verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Paul is saying to him, "Timothy, I need you. If you can get here at all, Paul was in prison, please try to come." Then he said in verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." From this we learn what actions cause backsliding. Number 7, love of the world has led many to turn back away from God. You see, you've got two possible views of the world. One is you can love what God has put in the world, or two, you can love what man has put in the world. You see, when it says that we're not to love the world, it's not talking about God's creation. I'm an outdoors person. I love to be in the outdoors. I love the country. I actually crave it. I hurt for it. And as long as I can get out in it once in a while, I'm all right. But concrete, just there's nothing pretty about concrete to me. I don't care how much architecture you put into it. I don't care what man does. I'm not impressed with it. But boy, I can drive along and look outside, and every tree is different. Every single tree grows differently. And I can look at the fields and watch how the crops come up. And every region, I think every region's got its beauty. I love Florida. I love to get out and look at these trees that we have and the moss hanging on it. I think Florida's a beautiful state. I love it. I love the mountains. When you go to the mountains, I see that, and I just love it. I love the farmland where I was raised. I think that is just gorgeous to me. All of these areas, I love it. But what it means that he hath forsaken him because he loved the world, he's talking about the world's values and the world's pleasure, the world's system that's under control of Satan. Right. Be careful you don't get too captivated by it. Because the Bible says the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So from this we learn, love of the world has led many to turn their back on God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe tonight, if you were to be real honest, you've lost some ground. Maybe we did not specifically mention your area, but the Holy Spirit has already. Question, has there ever been a time when you read your Bible more than you're reading it now? Has there ever been a time in your life when you prayed more faithfully, more fervently than you're praying now? Has there ever been a time you served with greater energy than you're serving now? Has there ever been a time when you gave God more priority in your scheduling than you're doing now? Has there ever been a time that you gave more generously than you're giving now? Has there ever been a time when your spirit was more receptive to truth than it is now? Has there ever been a time that you hungered for God's fellowship and God's service more than you're doing now? If the answer to any of those questions is yes, then you are experiencing right now a degree of backsliding. I urge you tonight, deal with it. Be honest with it. Be honest with yourself. Deal with it tonight. When I say stand in a moment, I invite you to come to the altar and say, "God, I didn't mean to slip back. I don't want to slip back. Help me tonight, Lord, to renew my upward and forward movement for you." Go home and do what you need to do. Go home and make what changes you need to make in your life that you can get back on the grow again for God. If you've never been saved, come and take me by the hands. And preacher, I want to be saved. We'll show you how. When I say stand, I want you to come. Are you ready? Let's stand.